Ephesians chapter number 5, and we're going to continue in this series, Exceed. Don't just meet your spouse's needs. Exceed them. We're on week number 9. That is hard to believe. We've got just a few weeks left in this series, and I'm praying that God will give us a strong finish and use it to strengthen our marriages. Today, we're going to talk about exceeding His need for admiration. Exceeding His need for admiration. It's like the man who had a high opinion of himself and maybe a little higher than he should. And he and his wife were out and just enjoying an afternoon together. And they walked by one of those coin-operated scales that gave you a card with all these details about yourself. And he saw that and he said, you know, I think I'm going to do that. So he jumped on there and he put the coinage there in the machine. And sure enough, he stood on that scale and then the card came out. And it had this description about his personality. And it said all these kind things about him and everything. So he took the card and handed it to his wife. He said, sweetheart, look at this. And she got the card and she began to read it out loud. And she said, wow. It talked about the fact that he had an amazing personality, that he was dynamic, that he was a born leader, that he was handsome, that he was admired by women everywhere for his personality and who he was. And she kind of looked at that card again and she said, huh, I see it got your weight wrong too. And sometimes we're not all we think we are, but there is a need in the heart of every man to be admired by his wife. There is an innate desire in the heart of men to be admired by the one in whom they share life with. And so how can that need be exceeded? Well, let's look at Ephesians chapter 5 for a launching passage in verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. For sake of time, drop down to verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. The word reverence there means respect. And so God says there's to be a submission one to the other. Wives, there's to be a recognition that the husband has authority and responsibility. Men, you are to take on the role of leading, servant leadership, and then you are to love. And wives, you are to reverence or to respect. And God is clear that there is a mutual submission. We're to find our role and we are to fulfill it in the marriage covenant. And then the wife is to submit to her husband as the head of the home, as unto the Lord. In other words, acknowledging that this is God's plan. This is God's order. This is God's structure, and marriages function best God's way. Now, there's no doubt, and this is a married couples class, that every man in here needs his wife, okay? And this is not exclusive with you. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. Amen to that. I will make an helpmeet for him. God looked at Adam and said, Adam, you need help. And help was on the way. And God caused a great deep sleep over Adam. It took a rib and created Eve. And Adam awoke. And wow, there was Eve. And bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And God gave Eve to Adam for his completion. So men are in need of wives. Now, it may not be God's will for every man alive to marry. But in this class, certainly, that has been God's will for us, and we are in need of our wives for sure. Now, in the marriage relationship, the husband then needs to lead his family. That's God's role for him. And in order to lead, he has to be followed. Now, the home is not going to succeed if the husband and the wife are constantly vying for leadership. Okay? And I know it's 2017. We live in a culture that doesn't take God's word as authority, okay? I do, and you should as well, all right? Why? Because God created us. God created marriage. God knows how it works. He encourages us to do it according to His plan, and if we will, He promises He will bless it, all right? And so God's plan is that the husband would lead the home. And in order for that to happen, the wife then has to accept, okay, he has a role of leadership. He has an authority. He has a plan that God has given him. And I need to follow. I need to respect. I need to admire the role that God has given to him. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:9, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Now, I know that verse doesn't resonate with a lot of groups today, but it's in the Bible. And the Bible is clear that God made her for him. That was God's plan. That's the order that God has with the home. By the way, let me make sure something's abundantly clear. That doesn't mean men are better. I do not deserve to lead my home based on being better than Susanna. That's ludicrous. I married way over my head. Most men in here with any intelligence whatsoever would say, Brother Roll, me too. I married way over my head. Amen. There's the smart guys right there. They want more pie after class. So it's not about being better. It's not about being smarter. It's not about earning more. It's not about this. It's not about that. It's very simply one thing. God's plan. God's plan. The reason I lead my home is because God told me to and Susanna lets me. That's basically it. If I had to get into a dogfight every day for leadership, we wouldn't get very far. If every decision, it was a contestation about where I feel like the Lord is taking our home, we wouldn't get anywhere. And our four children would just watch this show we put on day in and day out as we vie for something that isn't ours. But thankfully, I married a Christian. Thankfully, I married someone who was already submitted to God and His Word. So when we entered 16 years ago into the covenant of marriage, we weren't trying to kind of define what our relationship was going to be. We weren't trying to kind of figure out who we were. We weren't going to find, you know, kind of, well, what works for us? Those were never journeys we went on because we already had one. It was right here. We had God's plan. And we just determined early on, you know what, I think that's going to be the best one anyway. Let's just do this. And it's just been a pursuit of that. And that's not to say we're perfect. It's not to say marriage is perfect. It's to say we're on a journey. And we're on a journey to honor and please the Lord and to do it His way. And we're finding it's incredible. It's beyond your wildest imagination. And so as you set out to accomplish marriage God's way, and as a husband takes a role of leadership, and a wife understands this responsibility on his shoulder placed there by God, he has a huge need for respect and admiration as you're going down that path because he's wondering where you are as he's trying to lead the home. So how do you succeed in meeting that? Let's dive into the study and go quickly. Number one, you have to understand the objective of respect and admiration. Why should you provide this in his life? Well, letter A, I believe, to fulfill God's plan. God has a plan for your marriage, a plan for him, a plan for you. And he needs your respect and your admiration. And ladies, can I tell you something? God gave him that need. Well, I just think that's the craziest thing in the world. He ought to be able to get up there and do it all anyway. It shouldn't matter what I think. God is God. He can do anything. He doesn't need our affirmation of what he can do. But does God not tell us that when we come into His presence, He wants us to take some time to hallow His name, which means to worship Him? Now, why do we need to worship a God who can do anything? Does God need cheerleaders to perform? No. Does God need a fan club to get something done? No. Can God get something done when no one believes He can? Absolutely. That's when He shines the brightest. But He tells you and I as His followers, when you come into my presence, hallow my name, worship me, admire me, praise me. That's interesting. So God wants something He doesn't really need. And when you think about the marriage relationship, wives, you can deduce, well, he ought to fulfill this responsibility and he ought to do this whether he gets that or not. And maybe he should. But we're not talking about marriages in this class that just skate by. We're not talking about marriages in this class that are one twig away from just crumbling. We're talking about marriages in this class that are strong, that are thriving, that the boys and girls in the homes of these marriages look at and say, man, I wish someday I can have what mom and dad have. And you know what's at the core of a marriage like that? This kind of communication right here. There's an understanding of God's plan and there's an expression of respect and admiration. The Bible says that she reverenced her husband. Then let her be. It provides motivation. When a wife tells her husband that she thinks he can get it done, that he's wonderful, that she admires who he is, it inspires him to achieve more. I love the story of Job, and Eliphaz complimented Job. In Job 4:4, the Bible says, thy words have upholded him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. When Job was covered in boils and left for dead and was kind of flat on his back, if you will, it was encouragement that strengthened his feeble knees. And wives, I just want to encourage you, be encouraging. May your life and the life of your husband provide motivation to do that which is right. In a time where there may be falling, in a time where there may be weakness, may who you are and how you live breathe energy into your relationship. So it provides motivation, but then let her see, it provides confidence. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but the perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. To every wife in this room this morning, I want to challenge you, have a tongue that is wholesome. Have a tongue that deposits the tree of life. Does your relationship with your husband breathe life or does it suck life? Does it breathe energy or does it take energy out? Does it invest momentum or does it detract momentum? What is the relationship like? What's he hearing from you? What is your relationship to him accomplishing? Is it providing the confidence that he can lead your family according to God's plan? And I just want to challenge you to understand the objective. Brother Rule, what is the objective? The objective is simple. Be the biggest cheerleader your husband has. May he pillow his head at night confident you believe in him. You know with God's help he can get it done. That you're grateful that he is following the Lord and leading the family in that direction. And by the way, fellas, and we're kind of going week to week on some of this, but we can't ask our wives to follow our leadership if we're not leading. And we can't ask our wives to follow our leadership if we're leading in a way that contradicts the Word of God. Because the only authority higher than yours in your home is God's. So we got to make sure we're following God. As Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So we got to be Christ followers. And we've got to be leading. And a wife has to understand that objective and then providing the respect and admiration. So let's look secondly in our study this morning of the opponents of respect and admiration. What opposes, what is the enemy of this vital ingredient of a strong marriage? Well, the Bible says in Proverbs 12:4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Now, no wife in this room desires to be the rottenness of a bone, I know that. But what behavior lends to this kind of effect on a relationship? A couple thoughts, letter Ray. Criticism. Criticism. The Bible says in Proverbs 21:19, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. A lady who is always contentious. She's always angry. She's always critical. And I'm not saying that in marriage you don't need an arena, a safe arena, for constructive criticism. Of course you do. How is a marriage going to get better if you don't have a place where you can talk truthfully and talk about issues that need to get better and then seek ways to make the improvements and adjustments necessary? Of course you have to have that. But it should not be that every interaction, as husband and wife. He leaves and she's been critical. If I only had negative things to say to my children, I suspect it would not take very long where they would hate being in my presence. They would do anything not to be there. Detention, they would sign up for at school. Extracurricular work, they'll take it. You know, the new sport of underwater basket weaving, they're on the team. I mean, whatever. I mean, whatever they could do to fill their calendars and their schedules, they would quickly fill their plate if being in my presence was nothing but me being critical towards them. We've got to be thoughtful in our relationships. What is the communication like? And we've got to be careful, because if anything is going to tear down respect and admiration, it's being critical. And again, I'm not talking about not being honest. There's got to be an arena for honesty. But ladies, let me say it this way. You've got to earn the arena for honesty. It can't be a barrage of, you know, negative and critical and accusation, and it never stops. There's got to be a balance. Rules without relationship breed resentment and rebellion. If I have a real relationship with my children, then I can speak into their life, even something critically, and they have a heart to want to change. I had a date with Mariah this week, and we sat down at lunch and we talked about a couple of things, and we laughed and we cried and we had a great time together. And there were a few things I asked her to make an adjustment on. And she was glad to do that. But it wasn't from a platform of, you're a terrible person, here's all these things you need to do. No. It was a platform of love and acceptance and admiration and, hey, let's make an adjustment right here. We want to make sure that that is alive in our marriage relationship. So we want to avoid criticism and then let her be nagging. Proverbs 27:15, a continual dropping in a rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. The Bible says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. And ladies, I just want to encourage you, as you seek a strong marriage, to avoid being critical, to avoid nagging. What is nagging? Nagging is talking about the same thing over and 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 over again. Okay? A couple more overs, okay? That's what it is. You say, now what's the solution for that? Here they are. Number one, if there's unresolved conflict, fix it. So if you feel like you have to bring the same thing up a million times because it hasn't been resolved, then sit down, husband, sit down, work it through, refuse to get up until it's worked out. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Work it through, leave it there, keep moving. Secondly, it might be nagging about the simplest things, like, you know, honey, the front door is off the hinges and we haven't been able to get into the house for 3 weeks, and could we get this fixed, or, you know, whatever, I don't know. Then come up with a system of, sweetheart, here's the list, or if you don't want to do it, who do you want me to call, and we'll pay him, or whatever. I mean, there's some things at your husband's attention real fast, okay? And come up with a system. How do we do this? That's what every wife's going to take away from this lesson. Brother Rule said, hire the guy. That's what we did, so... We're in debt, but we're not nagging. It's pretty good. You know, here we go. All right, so no nagging. Letter C, being negative or even sarcastic. The Bible says, Proverbs 21:9, it is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So avoiding being critical, avoiding nagging, avoiding being negative. Why? Because this deteriorates the spirit of respect and admiration that you are showing to your husband. So thirdly and quickly as we close, the outline to greater respect and admiration. How do you exceed in meeting this need in his life? And can I give you this preface very quickly, and I'll give you these thoughts. You never want to fake your admiration. This has got to be genuine, heartfelt, authentic communication from your heart to his. And you say, Brother Rule, I'm not being mean, but I don't know where I would start. That I just want to encourage you to get along with God until you know where to start. Lord, I'm thankful for my husband. I'm thankful for the way he works. I'm thankful for his provision. I'm thankful for the kind of dad he is. I'm thankful for the handyman he is. I'm thankful for whatever. and you just take some time to begin to list out things you genuinely are thankful for. But it's got to be genuine. Okay? Now, how do you do that? How do you grow in this area? We're going to run right through this. Letter A, you've got to start by getting right with God. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, you cannot be right with God and be disrespectful to your husband at the same time. God has brought you two together, and God has given you both a role. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:33, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Listen, God has a master plan at work. God has brought you together. God has given you these defined roles. So you've got to be right with Him. You can't be right with God and disrespectful to your husband. The two don't work together. So I've got to have a heart that's right with God. Then letter B, I've got to look for the good. Look for the good. The Bible says, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Satan is a master at taking our eyes and our attention and focusing on that which is bad. I want to encourage you, especially this week of Thanksgiving, look for the good. What's good? What do you see in his life, or what do you see in her life that you're thankful for? Then let her see, tell him. Tell him. Verbally, in writing, text, email, whatever, I don't care. Tell him. Jim Benny said, it is not enough merely to see the good. A mate needs to hear your appreciation of it. I've learned that four compliments are required to offset one criticism and maintain a balance of self-worth in a person. Communicate admiration, respect, gratitude. Boy, both of you this week ought to inundate each other with why you're thankful one for the other. The Bible says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, and is in the power of thine hand to do it. As far as I know, everyone in this room can speak. I don't think we have someone in our class, at least not presently today, who is unable to speak. So that means everyone here has the power in their hand to do something good. And that is to say something positive, to affirm respect and admiration, or to express something you're grateful for. Can I give you a challenge? Use it. Do it. Don't be silent. Don't miss an opportunity. Communicate something good. Letter D, praise Him for who He is and not what He will become. Reassure your husband that, hey, we're on a journey, we're on a track, we're on a journey of growth, but I'm grateful for who you are now, and trust that God will do the rest. The Bible says, trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Praise Him for who He is and not who He will become. Letter E, express your faith in Him. God has given your husband an awesome responsibility of leadership. But he has to know at the heart level you believe in Him. And it helps a lot if you express those words of trust and faith in Him. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:18, there is that pierceth like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Ladies, can I ask you an honest question? Does your husband in his life have health or lack of health as a result of your communication? Does your communication strengthen his journey to follow God and lead the home biblically? Or does it weaken that journey? The Bible says a lot of it has to do with what comes out of our mouth, and it should be health. Then letter F, let him know you need him and depend upon him. Now, I know I'm speaking right into the face of cultural trends, but the Bible says the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. You know what is right? Truth. You know what is truth? The Word of God. God has a plan. God has a structure for the marriage relationship. And God says, husbands, follow God, lead your family. Wives, follow your husband, admire him, respect him, cheer him on. And it goes a long way to look at him and say, sweetheart, I need you. I appreciate you. Keep following God. It's what our family needs. Communicating that. Letter G, accept his decisions in your spirit. When your husband makes a decision, accept it. It shows a great amount of respect and admiration. It's like the little boy who was told to stand in the corner, and he told his teacher, I'll go stand in the corner, but I'll be sitting down on the inside. And sometimes that's the way it is in marriage, is it not? A decision is made, and well, he said that's the way we got to do it. But we let everybody know we don't agree with it. Had we made that decision, it would have been the opposite.
have the right spirit and the right response, a word fitly spoken. It's like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Letter H, bring a praise with every complaint.
Is there stuff we got to talk about in marriage? Absolutely. Do we got to bring up some negative sometimes? Of course, we're not perfect. But the author said four compliments to one complaint to maintain a balance. So I want to ask you a simple question. Don't have to do math. Don't take your shoes off. But thinking over the last 6 or 7 days, how many complaints? How many compliments? Husbands? How many complaints? How many compliments? Wives? How many complaints? How many compliments? How are you doing? Are you 4-1 or better? Let's work on that. Let's communicate positively. Bring a praise. Letter I. Seek spiritual counsel from your husband. The Bible says, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Wives, I want to encourage you, ask your husband what he thinks. Sweetheart, I want to get your opinion on this. What do you think about this? What should I do here? You say, Brother Earl, I've never asked that before ever. I'm trying to help you how to exceed in meeting his need for respect and admiration. I'm telling you right now, you might have to revive him after he falls over, but start asking him, hey, what do you think? Get his counsel. Get his guidance. Letter J, be grateful. Be grateful. We're to be thankful in Colossians. Be thankful for his provision. Be thankful for what he does. Be thankful for his faithfulness. Communicate gratitude. Letter K, encourage him to dream. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Encourage him to hold on to the plan that God has given him. Encourage him to keep following God by faith. Encourage him that he can be a man of God in your home. Encourage him. Encourage him as he follows God. Now, fellas, this lesson for us is follow God and lead. Wives, it's a lesson in following the leadership of your husband and showing admiration and respect. There's a discussion sheet in the bulletin this morning. Questions for her, questions for him. Just trying to help take the lesson home. How does this apply? What adjustments do we need to make that our home can be strengthened and that our marriage can honor the Lord Jesus Christ? Suzanne, I love you. We hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and we are very, very thankful for you. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for some time together this morning in your word. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as couples to exceed in meeting the needs of our spouse. And as we think about his need for respect and admiration, it's a need God gave. So how can it be exceeded? And I pray that we will take these simple biblical principles and apply them to our marriages, that they are thriving, strong institutions and trophies of God's grace. Lord, I pray that you bless our class, some traveling this week for Thanksgiving. I pray that you watch over them, keep them safe, give them a great time with family, and strengthen them. And then bring us back safely next Sunday is our prayer. And we promise to praise and to thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.